ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट 13। अत्रिना चोदितो हन्तुं पृथु पुत्र महा रथः अन्वद्भावता संक्रुधास तिष्ठा तिष्ठेति चाब्रवीत्। अत्रिना चोदितु हन्तुं पृथुपुत्र महारथः अन्वद्भाव संक्रुधाश तिष्ठा तिष्ठेति चाब्रवीत्। अत्रिना चोरितो हन्तुं पृथुपुत्र महारथः अन्वद्भाव गावता संक्रुधाश तिष्ठा तिष्ठेति चाब्रवीत्। अत्रिना चोदितो हन्तुं पृथुपुत्र महारथः अन्वद्भावता संक्रुधाश तिष्ठा तिष्ठेति चाब्रवीत्। Atrina, but the great sage Atrin, Choditaha, being encouraged, Hantum, to kill, Prituputraha, the son of King Pritu, Maharathaha, a great hero, Anvadbhavata, followed, Sankrudhaha, being very angry, Tishta Tishta, just wait. Iti, das, va, sorry, cha, also, abravit, he said. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the son of King Prithu was informed by Atri of King Indra's trick, He immediately became very angry and followed Indra to kill him, calling, "Wait, wait." Purport. The words "tishta tishta" are used by Kshatriya when he challenges his enemy. When fighting, a Kshatriya cannot flee from the battlefield. However, when a Kshatriya out of cowardice flees from the battlefield, showing his back to his enemy, he is challenged with the words "tishta tishta." A real Kshatriya does not kill his enemy from behind, nor does a real Kshatriya turn his back on the battlefield. According to Kshatriya principle and spirit, one either attains victory or dies on the battlefield. Although King Indra was very exalted, being the king of heaven, he became degraded due to his stealing the horse intended for the sacrifice. Therefore, he fled without observing the Kshatriya principles, and the son of Prithu had to challenge him with the words "tishta tishta." So, well, we can see now few principles here. Prabhupada talks about the principles of Kshatriya duty, son, then the principle of the son of Prithu Maharaj, he taking the mood that he wants his father to accomplish the yagya, so he is pursuing the one who actually is trying to steal the horse. But one thing we can very nicely see here, how, why does Indra, why is he stealing the horse? It's not that he doesn't like Prithu Maharaj, but what's happening here that he is afraid of his position, right? So now he is very much attached to the position of being the king of heaven. Now and then Prithu Maharaj, well, he is even more powerful and can become even more powerful by the sacrifice, but it's Indra who cannot handle it. Now, why is that? It's Indra's expectation that he must be, he is the king, so therefore he must be honored as the king, and he is expecting that everybody will pay him all the honors. But is he always behaving? Is he always acting according to his expectations? Now, this is an example. We can see it on Indra, but we should ask ourselves this principle. Now, we expect a lot from others, but how much are we ready to give? That's a question. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what does he say? When we read Shikshastakam, then what do we hear? Trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna, amanina, manadena. What does that mean? So, person who really wants to understand who he is and who wants to come to the self-realization, what should he practice? Amanina manadena. And what is that? So one should practice to not to expect too much. Those situation, things happen. So Indra, he sees well, Prithvi Maharaj is doing, okay, it's a situation, so let him be, he is going to be good king, he is very pious. So then, now I'll be very happy, now ruling the heavens, and now King Prithvi is ruling the earth, and yes, he can be more powerful than me, I don't mind. What does that bring? That brings satisfaction. Now, when we don't practice the Amanina, then what happens? We have great expectations. Expectation for anything. Well, I expect that when I come now back to the house, then the breakfast must be ready. Right? Now, what if it's not? Are we satisfied or not? We are not, because the expectation was not fulfilled. Now, what if we don't expect the breakfast to be ready? What if we expect that we will have to do the breakfast? Or at least help with it? We come back, we see breakfast is not ready. But are we dissatisfied? No, because we didn't expect it anyway. So then we can come back to the house and still be in good mood because we didn't expect that somebody will do the breakfast for us. So we don't have to ruin our mood. And in fact we can just come and not together we can do the breakfast and that brings even more satisfaction. So what's the difference? Amanina. That we have great expectation for ourselves. But will that make us satisfied and happy? No. So therefore, if we practice, don't expect. Things will happen anyway. Krishna will arrange. Everything will happen according to how it's supposed to be. Now, if we learn to see, okay, things happen this way, now I'm supposed to be in according to the situation, find the opportunity I can serve the Lord. Instead of, I don't like the situation, I didn't expect it, so now I'm mental, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just, I show everybody that I don't like it. What for? What's the point? So, if we learn to not to expect things from others, then what does it do? If we have lower expectations, so the situation which we come across with, if it is above our expectations, it makes us satisfied. And more above expectation, it's more satisfying, makes us more happy. But if it is just what we expected or below the expectation, it's not good. Now, you come, your birthday comes, right? And then you expect that you are going to get some expensive gift. Now, what happened that those who are close to you, they don't have money. So they will give you something else. Now, what will be the reaction?
Oh, okay, thank you.
But where is the happiness? The happiness is not there because we didn't expect it. We expected more. But if the opportunity is to relate to each other and to actually have a nice time, so anything is given, will make us happy. So, what makes us happy, what makes us satisfied, it depends on us. How much is our satisfaction? How much is our expectation? A person who is growing up in a, say, aristocratic family, and person who is growing up in slums, so their expectations for basically everything will be different. The person in the slums, when he travels, then he expects, okay, at least a bike should be there so I can just go. But the person from aristocratic family, he expects there must be now at least some Rolls Royce with a driver for me to drive. How they dress, how they speak, how they act. They expect, and others expect it from them. But it's on the bodily platform. Raghunath Das, he was very rich. But he perfected the stage of Amanina. He didn't expect anything. So then he ended up now eating the remnants of all the devotees, even the stale prasad, no, Jagannath Mandir, who would never eat, so he eats it. He has no expectation. For him, the expectation is only that he wants to be always close to the Lord, that he wants to constantly be thinking about the Lord, serve him. So then, when he practices, or when we learn how to practice, then we will see that actually the devotees are not so bad. And living in a society of devotees actually can become very wonderful. It's it is amazing, but we can try it. It works. That we don't try to have too many expectations for ourselves, that everybody must behave the way we want. What is it that we want or we expect? Well, if that what we expect is based on Guru Sadhu Shastra, then yes, it's good. And if we have a relationship with the person, so we can influence him, yes, we can explain to him. That's good. But how many things can we teach? How many things, how many people can we influence? That depends on us. Now, if we expect a lot, then it will be difficult to actually not get the satisfaction. But from others we should expect less, but from ourselves we should expect everything. We should expect that we will do everything for so we can constantly be engaged in devotional service. And because we always see some faults in ourselves, so yes, we are not perfect. But then others, because our expectation is not to, no, we are happy with others. It's, we don't expect from others things. So then our satisfaction with them, because it's always great. And when we learn to see the good qualities in devotees and omit the bad qualities, which we may see, then we can actually see that the devotees are very advanced. And especially the aspect that the devotees, each and every individual devotee, is advanced in certain level, then this should be our association with him. We should associate with the devotee through the quality which he perfected. Then we can advance. Because there is always something to look forward to. Yes, he is so wonderful. So I also would like to do the same way what he does. And not like Indra seeing, oh, he is becoming better than me, so let him just fall down. Let him not to finish the sacrifice. This is the tendency of the conditioned living being. But it should not be what we practice. So Amanina must be practiced. And then manadena. What does that mean? That we are willing to offer everything to everybody else. So then, we don't have the expectation for ourselves, and we don't have the expectation from others, but we expect that we will be able to give everything to everybody, whatever we can. Then we can go and we can preach. We may have little, and we don't expect that the devotees or people in general may follow regulative principles or which are the holy name, but we still go and try to give them everything. That means the holy name. Distribute books, do Harinam, preach. And then if we see that they are not taking it, somebody doesn't take, so it's not a reason for being dissatisfied. We will do our best, whatever we can. But if they don't take it now, they will take it later. And if they take it now, if they start chanting, they start following very well the principles, we have to understand it's not our work. We didn't do that. We participated. So that way, then we can always be in contact with Krishna. We can always do devotional service. But if our expectations are too high, that we, for ourselves, we need to get this and we need to get that and that must be ours, and no, otherwise no, we cannot function, we cannot do this, then the difficulty comes that we will be so much engrossed in the bodily activities and we will not have time for devotional service. So if we are looking for satisfaction, so that's one way then how we can achieve satisfaction, and from satisfaction happiness comes. So if we practice it, then we may avoid situations like, you know, Indra's situation, being envy and greedy. And when we feel he's threatening me, so we have to put him down rather than seeing, oh, he's better than me, so let me improve so I can also become better. So this is something which we can all think about and practice in our own lives. Anyway, any question to this? Or everything absolutely clear? Yes? Any mic?
Thank you, Prabhu, for this nice point you stressed. In the case of marital relationships, so we're hearing the standard and the responsibilities of a man in the marriage and the responsibilities of the woman in the marriage. So one embarks on their marriage day, you know, they're expecting each partner to, you know, match up to their expectations of what the responsibilities of the other are. And often then, because apparently just reasonable expectations aren't met, then there is divorce.
Okay.
Can you just expound on this topic too?
Okay, so now, marriage, it's not necessarily part of spiritual development, right? Marriage is a result of attachments, and that's why we get married. So, but marriage is a means, it's a way how to get rid of the attachments. So when grihasthas take up their duties and follow them thoroughly with Krishna conscious mentality, they will be able to go back to Godhead at the end of life. So, but before they have attachments, they have some anarthas, and because of that they are looking for the marriage. So within the marriage, the couple, there are some expectations, and it's very natural. Now, what needs to be done? See, the best is the Dhamma marriage. That means it's arranged. Now, why is it the best? Now, it's like, it's old fashioned. Why do people cannot just get together and then, they love each other, so then they will get married. And then what happens? So then, they live together for some time and then they divorce. Because, oh, I didn't know this. I didn't expect this from you. No, then I don't like it. So, the arranged marriage then tries to avoid as many problems as it can. So, what actually it is? First of all, then the boys and the girls' charts are seen. Because from the chart, the mentality, the nature, then that scene. And same, now so it's seen for the boy, for the girl. Now there are, by the Shastra given, now how does it match? So a boy with one mentality will match a girl who has a certain mentality, which they go together. If they are opposing, they are not compatible, then it may work for some time, but it's going to be a struggle. The nature. Maybe turn it off. I think the battery is quite low. So, the same thing now in the nature, in the activities. So, if they think about, okay, I expect this in marriage, that according to their nature, but he may be expecting something else because he has different nature. He wants to live simply and he doesn't care much for money, but she expects castle somewhere in England, that they must have that with thousands of hectares of garden. That's her expectation. So it probably won't match. So it won't be long lasting. So from the chart it can be seen. Now before this, the boy and the girl don't know about each other at all. They don't even know that they exist. Right? And so somebody else, somebody who is arranging it for them, looks up the charts. So then they see, okay, well, this chart and this chart, yeah, it's quite a good match. It cannot be 100%. Even Shiva and Parvati, they don't have perfect match. It doesn't exist. If it's good enough, then we may expect that the expectation will be fulfilled to some extent. So then what's the next thing to do? The party of the boy should ask the boy what are his expectations from the girl, and the party of the girl should ask the girl what are the expectations of the boy, from the boy of the girl. So they know what do they expect, and they know what they are willing to give. So the parties meet, and they discuss. Oh, our boy, he wants to live simply. No, he's probably not going to make much money because he likes to study, he likes to do... Oh, our girl cannot do that, no? She must have the palace, no? So, okay, so sorry, okay, we will look for another. And ended. And the boy and the girl didn't know anything. So, Now, but if, okay, our boy, he wants to live simply and then he is willing to give shelter and then like that, and then, yeah, our girl can handle that. No, she wants to, no, be in the, not take care of the house or take care of the children. Yes, yes, no, our boy also wants to have children. So then they will be happy. Probably. So, but as much as they can do, right? Now, if that seems kind of like it, it may work, then only put the boy and the girl together. And then they can discuss. So what happens when you put them together? They will discuss something, but the most likely, in 99% it happens. Attachment happens. So they get attached to each other. But you already checked the chart, you discussed with the others, and it seems okay. So then, if they get attached now, so it's not big deal, it's good. And now let them try, if actually, no, let them discuss and let them try if they can handle it. If you don't do it this way, so when the boy and the girl meet and then, no, they say, I love you, and they get attached. So now what happens? Well, no, I love you, yeah, but I don't like that you smoke. But anyway, no problem, I know, when you get married, when we get married, then you will give it up. Right? No. It's unlikely. What, when we see the boy and the girl, so how they behave before the marriage, this is their best. So, we are trying, based on our attachment, we are compromising. Oh, it will happen, it will be better, don't worry. Everything will be nice. He will be better, yeah, no, just don't worry, he will love you. Maybe, maybe not. So our expectations are high, but we see the signs it's not going to work. But still, because we are attached, we will compromise. And that will be better, and that will be better, and, you know, when we get married, everything will work out. Maybe 1 or 2 days, and then after that, that's it. So we have to be careful. But how can they be careful? They are attached. When they are attached, the emotions are really high. They don't see reason, they don't see a way. They cannot use their intelligence how to actually, you know, see and analyze it. No, this is not going to work. So therefore, the arranged marriage, then the possibility that we find the best, no, or good solution, it's there. And then when the attachment comes, yes, they may become very emotional, but we did maximum for to find the proper match. So that's the way which is the best. And if we follow that, then many marriages will not end up by divorce. So we have to be very conscious of what do we want. And then also, like, when the boy and the girl meet after everything is arranged, when they meet together, so they should also be very open in saying, well, I expect not this from you, and I am willing to, you know, give you this, sacrifice this. So when that's spoken, so later on something happens that the boy behaves differently than she expected him to. So then now she has the tool to say, well, before we married, you said something else. Now we are doing something else. Please explain yourself. Yeah, I said that, but no, it's a situation. So please don't do it again. And that may be a tool which we can fix things. We can also discuss how to fix things before we actually get into it. If we already discussed that, then it's clear that, no, okay, the boy may say, okay, if I do something wrong, please you come and correct me. Now, when he does something wrong, she can come and tell him, this is not right. and he cannot jump. Hey, who are you to tell me? Well, I am the one whom you say that I can come to you and tell you to know that you are doing it wrong. Oh, sorry, yeah. And that's it. So many things can get worked out if it's arranged. But once it's the emotion, the love is up, what will you consider? She loves me and she will love me for the rest of my life. And they will live happily ever after. Each of the marriages, yeah? The fifth, sixth, seven times, yeah? So, there are advantages to arrange it properly. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, could you explain how we don't have to imitate Raghunath Das Goswami? Because when we have, fortunately for us, ISKCON society formed. ISKCON society formed and we have nice prasadam being arranged for us. And then we are expected to preach and carry on other such preaching activities. Can you explain how we don't have to imitate and follow devotees?
How we don't have to do what?
Imitate.
Imitate.
And follow.
See, so what was expectation of Raghunath Das? His expectation was that he wanted always to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Now, when he was with his parents, then he was pampered. He was a very rich person. But because of that, he didn't see it as very good for his progress in devotional service. So he wanted to be with the devotees. Now, his expectation, if he would have the expectations now for just that he must be treated as he was in the house, how would devotees relate to him? How could they? He must be the most wonderful prasadam, 64 preparation on the golden dishes, in the room which he is being fanned by four girls. How will that work? It could work. There is the example of Pundarek Vidyanidhi, so it can. But he was looking for what? He was looking for the association of the devotees, right? So he was willing to sacrifice all these opulence so then he can get the association with the devotees. So he did not have the expectations that he must be dealt with like he was dealt with in the house. So he slept on the floor, he was wearing just simple clothes, and he did not expect that he must be treated as a rich man, so therefore he was very happy. And just to show how he didn't have any expectation for himself. So then he could take prasad anywhere because he sees this is prasad, no matter what. If the prasad is opulent or the prasad is very simple, he didn't have any problem. He sees this is a prasad. So he was on the platform to see this. Now, when we are not on this platform, then yes, we expect something really good for us. So then we must have the wonderful prasad. We must have the best for us. Because why? Because it's us. It's me. I am the one who must have the best prasad. Why him? Why him? No, me. I. Right? But when we overcome that aham mameti,
then we can practice the Amanina. So we go for a feast, right? And somebody says there will be no wonderful feast. Okay, let's go. I expect prasad. We come there and it's khichdi. Great, it's prasad. I am happy with that. But somebody, I expected feast, I expected 20 preparations. What is this? What nonsense is this? Who did this? Why is that? Complain, I don't like, I don't eat. Okay, Prabhu, yeah?
Hare Krishna, I'm sorry to interrupt, but my question was in terms of how we devotees have humble, nutritious prasad and we don't have to imitate Raghunath Goswami by going...
We don't have to, but the thing is that we have to learn to be, to expect that actually what we need to expect, it's expect prasad. So we don't have to imitate, because if we don't see prasad in the prasadam, which is, say, stale, we don't see that, okay, then we don't eat that. So we will not take wonderful prasad which is here. But if we get invited to a person's house and the person is very poor and he is inviting us for a feast and he cooks khichdi, we don't have to say, no, I don't like it, this is not feast. So even if we go to the kitchen, right, and then they cook for a feast, they cook one preparation as khichdi, we can be very wonderfully engaged in Krishna consciousness, knowing that we are eating prasad, and actually the khichdi can be very happy, can be very wonderful. I can give you an example. To one temple, I used to go, and in the temple, they were serving one sabji and chapati. Now the chapati were very hot, with ghee, and the sabji was very nice, simple, but very nice. As it was served properly, as it was distributed, the mood was nice. Very, very wonderful experience. And just one sabji and khichdi. Now, in the same temple, when they upgraded, so they started to cook opulent. So then, when you come, you see now 10 preparations. And the preparations look wonderful. But when you eat them, then they are very heavy. They are, instead of ghee and butter, used oil, because it's cheaper, so you are making more opulence, so you have to make it cheaper. And it wasn't properly done. Now, also, when they also want to make it more efficient, more practical, so then they don't serve properly devotees. Each and every devotee must come with a plate and take it on his plate, go sit down to some place where somebody else was already eating. So that experience, now even if it's some wonderful feast, will make it very terrible. Now, Chaitanya Charitamrita now talks about Bhunkte Bhojayate. So it's devotee sitting in the line, not being served properly. This is... it enhances the experience of even if the prasaram is very simple. So if prasaram is simple, served properly, then it's going to be a very nice experience. If the prasaram is very nicely cooked and if it's very elaborate, but it won't be served properly, the experience will not be nice. Hare Krishna. May we come closer? Okay, Hare Krishna. Any other? Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gopramanandai.